Warren doesn't really need an introduction, but I have entrusted my life to this man. And I want to encourage all of us, just in your hearts, trust your life to this guy. Warren, we entrust our lives to you. And so Jesus, I pray that you would help Warren right now, God, just to tap into the wonders of you, Jesus. To tap into your spirit right now in Jesus' name. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak through him. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come and pierce all of our hearts with your truth, with your love, with your word, in Jesus' name. Amen.
I've just asked these guys to stay. I almost feel like we could almost just stay in this place, like just in the Lord's presence. And again, like whenever we do music, it's never to manipulate or to, you know, create an atmosphere. God doesn't need that. God doesn't need sound. He doesn't need our worship. He doesn't need that for him to come. He just wants to be with us, man. He loves us so, so much. He loves you so much. And before we move on, and I know there's some parents dropping off kids and they're coming back, but I just like, yes, just that song of "It's All About You, Jesus." My heart this morning is like, God, it is. It is. It's all about you. So just as the music playing, can we close our eyes? Just sit in the presence of your King. Sit in the presence of the lover of your soul. Jesus. Everything that he has for us. He loves us more than what I think we can even realize or imagine. And he's got purposes and plans and destiny for us. And for each one, it looks so different. The biggest thing is he just wants to spend eternity with you. The short little blimp of the life that we live means absolutely nothing, but it means everything, because he wants to use this life to make sure that you spend eternity with him. So Jesus, this morning, as we are in your presence, God, as we are with you, Lord, as yes, just the joy of the Lord, God, come and fill us again afresh. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would fill our hearts with the knowing this morning that you love us, that you are for us, that we are yours and you are ours, God. And that your hand is on our lives, God. That it's not by chance that we are here this morning. Every single one of us, God, you know exactly where we are, Lord. You have counted the hair on our heads. You hold us in the palm of your hand. The apple of his eye. The apple of his eye. Yes, God loves us, eh? God loves you. I just can't say it. I just feel like God wants to say it this morning. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. No matter what you've done, no matter how you feel, no matter the things that you're going through, he wants you to know this morning he loves you with an everlasting, unexplainable love. Deep, deep, deep love. Yes, God. We love you, Lord. We love you. Amen. Amen. Thanks, guys. You guys are absolute legends. It was incredible. You guys sense that this morning? Just the love of God. It's almost like I felt this morning just in worship, just God's heart for us, man. It's like he really loves us. And this morning I'd love to share something with you that obviously I feel the Lord has been taking us into as a congregation. So for those of you that are visiting, welcome. We absolutely love having you with us. And I really do pray that you experience just the love of God. Not a great teaching, not a great preach, but God's love, man, that you'll encounter Him, because that's what it's all about, encountering Him. He's the source of life. He's everything, not me, not just Jen. Thanks, James, for that, entrustment. It's a scary thing, but it is. It's real. It's what the Lord says. It's part of His ways. But it's Him, man. And I think our job as leaders, those that God has called in a time like this, is to point each and every one of you guys that God has somehow put us together to point you to Him, to make sure that you follow Him in everything that you do. And yes, Paul writes, follow me as I follow Christ. But it's Him following Christ. And for us, I want to follow Jesus, because it's all about Him. I want to follow Him with everything that I do, whether it comes to my businesses, whether it comes to my family, my wife, my marriage, my kids, the congregation, the church, all the responsibilities He's given me. I go, God, I want to follow You. What do You want to do ultimately? Lord, what do You want to do? What is Your will for my life? That's what I ultimately want to do. Because if I follow that, I think that narrow road that Jesus talks about, I'm trusting and hoping that I can stay on that narrow road. Because there's a wide road the Bible speaks about, and it says many is on that road. And then there's a narrow road. And that narrow road, sometimes it's narrow and it's hard. And I don't think it's paved with smooth, skateboardable tar. I think it's a little bit rough. I think there's a couple of potholes in there. I think there's things you've got to dodge. There's arrows coming your way. There's pitfalls. There's obstacles. There's things on that narrow road that God uses all the time for us to become more like Him. And, as I said, for us, we're sensing God is taking us as a congregation into a season of discipleship. What is discipleship? Looking at discipleship and practically all of those kind of things. And this morning, last week I came ready to preach. And like we always say, the Lord leads us. It's not Ivan or myself or James or any of the elders or anybody for that matter. It's God's building His house and He leads us on Sundays. And last Sunday I came ready. Who last Sunday just experienced God like in a crazy way? You know, it was just incredible. God was here. And we go, Lord, we follow You. We can't follow our own ways. And during this whole week, I had the preach that I had ready last week. And I was like, okay, Lord, I think that's what You're wanting for me to share. And last night we were at a beautiful wedding, Sebastian and Anna Leon's incredible wedding. Yes, I was just getting blown away of looking at a bride coming down the aisle and going, God, that's us one day. We are Your bride. And to stand, to look at a groom looking at his bride going, you're absolutely beautiful. And that's us one day without spot or blemish or wrinkle. And this is what discipleship is about, getting you ready for Him. One day to come in front of the King of Kings. And the Bible says that we will be with Him forever. And yes, just yesterday again, blown away at that picture that God gives us of marriage, of just being one, becoming one with Jesus, becoming one flesh with Him, and Him in us and us in Him. And so I was ready the whole week, been feeling cool. I've got my little discipleship preach that I really feel the Lord has put on my heart. And then Thursday night, we're driving through to, we've been doing some courses, and driving through to a counseling course, and I've been just listening to a lot of things around leadership, because I really do believe, you know, God uses leaders, and we'll get to that kind of that thing as well. And then this Andrew actually just dropped this one line, and as he said it, it's like, have you ever experienced when you know that you know that you know God just spoke to you? And as he dropped, he said, the main thing is to abide in Jesus. And as he said it, it's like, I was like, oh dear. Okay, you want me to talk about abiding in You, Lord? And I'm like, okay, what does that mean? How do I tie this in? And the whole thing, so this morning, I just realized that God shifts and moves, and it's Him that's leading. And as a leader, this is the way we are. We fluid the whole time. We go, God, it's not about my little preach that I think is okay or whatever it is. It's about following you. So this morning might be a little bit rough around the edges. We got home at about 12 last night, which was beautiful. And then I woke up. I'm rambling on. My wife is like, can you move on, please? Can you move on? That's who you need, a wife. So I want to start. About 5 years ago, when did foiling appear on the scene? 7 years ago. 7 years ago, this thing called foiling appeared on the scene. Who's seen Nathan Foyle? Who's seen foiling? Foiling, you put this thing, it looks like a wing of an airplane. You turn it upside down. You stuck it to the bottom of a surfboard. And then, pretty simple. And then as you catch a wave or any movement in the ocean, what the wing does, it lifts your board out of the water, and you literally glide onto the water. So for us that are surfers, we looked at this thing going, yeah, it looks a bit weird, you know, like who wants to do that? And it's also, it's a total freaky little thing because you don't hear anything because this wing is at the bottom of the water. So this appeared on the scene, and Ivan and Nathan, as they are pioneers and guys that break things open, like they I've just started a foil business, you know. So like, you know, and we all were like, cool, this is going to be cool. I looked at it first, a little bit hesitant, and then I was like, I want to try that. How do I do that? You know, have you ever looked at something, whether it's go-karting or scrapbooking or it's golf, you know, and you go, you know, I want to try that. That looks cool, you know. So I looked at this thing. I was like, I'm a surfer. I'm going to try foiling. How hard can it be? You know, you get on a board and you go. So, you know, and in typical our mindset in South Africa, the way that we are wired is, I'm not going to pay thousands of rands for this. I'm going to make a plan. I'm going to like sort this out. What is, you know, a boer maak 'n plan. So how do I get like the cheapest little foil I can get, you know, duct tape it onto my board, whatever it means. I'm not going to do what the professionals does because how hard can it be? Have you ever had that attitude? Look at something, hey, how hard can it be to put up a painting on a wall until you hit a freaking water pipe and then you're like, okay, it's pretty hard. But so I'm in this mindset of it's not hard. So I get a foil set up, I get a board, and stick with me, there is a point to this, and paddle out, and I was just, it's a beautiful day, and it's just paddle out, and I check Ivan watching me a little bit, best friend, he's like, yeah, no, you can do this, and he says to me one thing, he says, remember Laird Hamilton. So Laird Hamilton is a pioneer in the surfing industry. He surfed massive waves before anybody else. He's foiled before anybody else. He's anything that you can stand up paddleboarding, he developed that. He was the guy behind all those things. And Laird has got this big wave stance, wide and like a bear. So that's how, you know, Ivan says, Brew, like channel your inner Laird when you foil. Like be Laird. I'm like, no one else can be Laird. You know, Laird is this massive guy. He's got a neck about triple my size. But the whole thing is like, be Laird. I'm like, Brew, what are you talking about? So I'm like, okay, get on the foil. And the first time I get up, I stand. And as I stand, this board flips over. I'm looking at this razor-sharp, carbon-designed foil at coming towards my eye. And I'm like, I'm going to die. And it just misses my head. I was like, ooh, okay, that was maybe just an accident, you know. Next thing, I go, I'm going to try this again. Paddle as hard as I can, and as I jump on the board, Laird's out the window, because who's Laird in any case? You know, in the moment, there's so much going on. And as I jump on the board, I lean too much on my back foot, and this foil flips over, and I'm upside down, and I'm seeing this foil, and I'm going like, I'm going to die. I hold my head, and I just go down. Then I realized I need help. I need help, because if I'm going to do this thing the way I'm going to carry on, I'm going to die. So I sheepishly paddle over to Ivan. I go, hey, Ive, can you help me? He goes, no, I can't. but Nathan can. And why did he point to Nathan? Because Nathan is like the master. He is like, you know. So they gave me a couple of tips, and I actually got it. I started getting it, started getting up on the foil, slowed everything down. And then I like that. Thank you. Amen. Then as I got it going, you know, the seasons change. Foiling is really good in summer, and the seasons change. And for the last 2 years, I just haven't done it. I just haven't done foiling. And I loved it. I sort of got it. I got the foil up. So if you ever see someone out on the horizon, there's a couple of them. Lukey, James, Nate, Jake, these guys, they're out on the ocean, and you just check them, boing, 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 you know, you can actually make like sound effects. Sorry, I'm making it very not cool, but it is very cool. And they just catching literally, how many waves continuously have you caught? You've got like almost the world record for it, like 100. Nate just goes, catches the waves, and the foil, the way it's designed, it just keeps on going. So I'm coming back last week, and it's this most beautiful day. Who remembers last week when it was those beautiful days? Just, you know, and I go out, and for surfing, it is absolutely way too small. It's terrible. But for foiling, it's 10-foot pipeline. It's absolutely incredible. What that means, it's like the most perfect foiling day ever. I'm like, I'm coming back into foiling. I'm going to do this thing. Again, I could feel I was a little bit nervous this time, a little bit more, you know. And as I rig up, I paddle out, and I just slowed everything down, and I was like, I can actually do this again, you know. So I'm not anything close to what Nathan and James are. I can just literally go straight. I just go straight, but I can control it. But what I realized is during that time, I went out, and I was like, okay, I can do this kind of thing. And then what happened, it came out, I drank some water, Nate and Ivan is going, we're going out again. I'm like, I'm definitely going with you guys, because now I'm thinking I can learn something from these guys. And they sort of like me, so I think they're going to be good for me. They're going to maybe help me, maybe give me one or two tips, you know. And I was like, I'm definitely running out. So I'm rigging up, Nathan does some modifications on my foil, I don't know what he did, but I'm like, thanks, Bri, I'll take whatever you want to do, because, you know. And as I walk out there by corner, have you ever seen all those mussel shells at corner? A mussel shell just goes straight into my foot, into the soft little area of my foot. And I'm like, I'm like, James! And Alan was there, and I'm like, I'm pulling out this mussel shell about this deep out of my foot. Nathan and them were going, and I'm like, you've got to be kidding me, man. I just want to foil. And as that happened, I walked away, and I bandage myself up. The whole week, all I'm thinking about is foiling. And I'm going, I want to be like Nathan. I want to be like Nathan. How do I become like Nathan? Nathan can foil. And he is. Nathan's one of the top foilers in the world. Not in South Africa, in the world. So he's humble enough to take it. But my whole thing was like, how do I become like Nathan? Started looking at YouTube videos. Started like filming Nathan secretly as he like pumps the board. I'm like, you know, like, what does he do? Where's his way, you know? And it's just a picture for me of what discipleship is. Discipleship is that, becoming like the person you follow. So I do follow, like, and subscribe, all his stuff. but that's discipleship. Discipleship is following someone that absolutely knows what they're doing. And in our walk as a Christian, who do we follow? Who do we follow? Who is our rabbi that we follow? And I use that word specifically. Rabbi is a Jewish word for teacher. But who is that teacher? Who is that person? I would love to believe that Nathan is now my teacher when it comes to foiling. Yeah, no, sorry, no. But who is our teacher? And if you look at the Jewish culture, the Jewish culture had this beautiful, beautiful saying that they actually adapted into their culture when it became to following someone. And it was this. It says, may you be covered in the dust of your rabbi. May you be covered in the dust of your rabbi. And what that meant, think about the old days. There were no tar roads. There was nothing there. You had a teacher, a rabbi in the Jewish culture that fully had all the Torah in them. They understood the word of God. They understood everything about the laws of Moses. They had all this information, and they would teach someone those laws. But it wasn't just this, what we understand. It was literally, if you followed a rabbi, you would lay down everything. You would give up everything. You would go, how do I follow this man? You would literally leave your father and mother's house. Some would even leave wives and children at home and say, I want to follow this man because I want to know what he knows. I want to do what he does. I want to become like him. And that was Jesus. Jesus was a rabbi. And the 12, and that's why Jesus went. He went up to the 12. They fully understood when he came to them while they were fishing, saying, leave your nets, come and follow me. In that moment, they realized that he was a teacher. And as they followed him, they were giving up everything for him. And they became his disciples. And for us, we become Jesus' disciples if we follow him. But what does it look like to follow him? And in this Jewish culture, they realized it was a really close following. It wasn't like, hey, I'll check in once a week. Or I'll send me a WhatsApp when you get another little law, revelation. It wasn't that. It was literally following him wherever he was going, doing what he was doing, and giving up what they wanted to do. It was. It's a commitment. Because they realized, as they imitated him, they would absorb who he is. And you've probably heard this before, but we often say, if you close proximity to someone, if that person has got measles, but you want mumps, don't want mumps, okay? But if you think, what are you going to catch? You're going to catch measles. You know, in your household, if there's one person sick in the household, what happens? Everybody gets sick, you know? And the reason is because there's close proximity. It's with one another. It's you following that person closely. And with Jesus, he's given us men on earth to be able to go, like Paul wrote to Timothy, he says, follow my way of life. And as you do this, teach others that they may follow. And that is the way of not even, and I don't want to say it's a Jewish way. It's actually God's way of becoming more like the person you follow. Imitating them, absorbing what they are doing, the mannerisms, their way of life, their teachings, everything about them. Because they realized when they did that, they will be transformed. They will be transformed. So before we go on, I wanted to paint that picture for you guys of that desire of following someone because you've seen something, like me with foiling. I saw something and I was like, how do I get that? Who of you have recently just seen something of Jesus here with us and gone like, I want that. How do I get that? You know, I look at like Angelus and Terrence and Tristan and guys that have been coming that just recently got saved, given their hearts to Jesus, and they go, how do I get there? How do I become more like Jesus? And not looking at us as like the picture of it all, because trust me, I'm going, how do I become more like Jesus? But somehow following our example of life and going, as I follow, I know I can become more like Jesus. And that's the whole thing. Even this morning, James talking about being plugged in. He didn't know what I was going to be sharing. And so just, when he said it, I was like, oh, James, you're so on it. And before we carry on, I want to ask Lisa Marie, don't you want to come share just what you felt in worship? Because it's so, and this is what the Bible does, or what God does. God says we are a body, we are family. He uses every single person in here to be able to direct and lead and guide. And I just want you to hear what she felt during worship.
Morning, all. Yes, I just thought, relating to what James said, so if we are plugged into Jesus and we're a multi-plug, then the power flows through us. but the power is actually love. Then when other people connect to us, they get some of Jesus' love. And that's how Jesus' love spreads, because it's his love that redeems. It is love that heals. It is love that gives us the power to forgive. But when we unplug, we live for ourselves, we die.
Very good. Where's Paulette? Don't you want to come share what you just felt about what would you, just as you've been praying?
So I woke up in the night with a picture of the fire, and I could see the fire that was in Baron's heart, and he representing the church, leading us as a church. And you know, sometimes when you start a fire, and when I get very cold, I want to make it go faster to get the heat, and I just put on a whole lot of cardboard or newspaper, and you get this, wow, fire, and then fire must have died. And I felt God say to us, be cautious, not wanting to chase the fire, and putting on newspaper and cardboard to ignite it quickly. He actually wants to take us in a season of collecting little piles of wood and sticks and build slowly, because he wants the fire to be sustainable, and he wants to build a sustenance in us. And I really felt like, and then the fire will come, but the building blocks needs to be in place. It doesn't help we chase after it quickly, but it dies.
Isn't that incredible? Just how God is in all the little detail. Yes, we can create a massive, big fire with newspaper, cardboard. It'll last a moment. But if we build a fire for him, and he comes and ignites it, and it's hardwood, it's wood that's been through the test, it's wood that's been through times of all it, and we are that. We, like, come Holy Spirit, set me on fire, let me burn with a desire for the lover of my soul. What is that fire burning? Is it here today, gone tomorrow in your life? Or is it a hardwood fire that's been forged, that's been put together like a piece of coal that can just keep on burning, keep on burning? And if you put another piece of wood close to it, that ignites. And that's what the picture is of discipleship. So discipleship for us going into, I don't believe the Lord wants us to be in a season of quick, here's a couple of teachings. Here's a couple of this. Quickly change your behavior. Change what you're doing. It's not that. What discipleship is basically coming down to a belief in your heart, a desire level. What do you desire? The things that you desire changes. Your life changes. It comes down to becoming and seeing, what does Jesus actually desire? What is the most important thing for him? And aligning your life with that. And that's that fire that Paulette talks about. And you know that Jesus basically says the same thing about, may you be covered in the dust of your rabbi. He just said it in a little bit of a different way. And I want us to look at that quickly in John 15. John 15, Jesus said, this is how you can prove to be my disciples, basically. John 15, verse 8. Can you put that up for us quickly? It says, by this my Father is glorified. And even this morning we were saying, God, you be glorified. Yesterday at the wedding, it was like, how do we glorify God in everything that we do? And Jesus says, well, this is how my Father is glorified. That you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. So it's by the fruit that we bear. And what is that fruit? What is that fruit that God wants every single one of us to do? And I think during this next season, we're going to start looking at, what is the fruit that God wants you to bear? Did God make you an apple tree or a grape vine or a avocado tree? Ever's grown trees? Yes, thank you, Jesus. Okay. Don't be a carrot. That's underground, you know. The Bible doesn't speak about carrots. It speaks about fruit, you know. Sorry. But what is it? What has God called you to be? What is the fruit? You know that God has got good fruits for you to bear? For each and every one of you. We don't just get saved and then sit in a pew and then go like, okay, can I die now so I can go to heaven? That's not Christianity. No. God has given us life, life in abundance, joy, peace, the Holy Spirit. And you'll see now, one of the ways that you know that you're a disciple is you're filled with the Spirit. And one of the ways that you realize is you obey him, you follow him. And what happens is good fruits come. By your good fruits, you prove that you are His, that you are His disciple. You belong to Him. And we want to see, what does that mean? How do I know that I'm a disciple of Jesus? And this morning, if we walk away here, it's the one thing I want us to know, is that I know that I'm in Him, that I follow Him, and that He loves me. He's got a purpose and a plan for my life. Good fruits, that one day God will be glorified. And actually, it speaks about eternal life, that you know that you know that you're going to heaven forever if you are His disciple. That's how you know. We're going to look at a couple of scriptures. So this whole scripture starts out in John 15, verse 1. And I want to read it quickly to us. And it's basically what Jesus is saying. May I be covered in the dust of my rabbi? A different picture that Jesus uses is the vine. A vine. And obviously we know the scripture. But I want us to look at the scripture again from a point of view of knowing that I'm following Jesus. And how can I do that so that my life reflects Him and I become like Him? So let's put on John 15, verse 1 to 8. And it says, I am the true vine. And my Father is the vine dresser. And it's just, Jesus is the true vine. When saying that, there is so much out there in the world today that looks like the truth, that's so close to the truth, that even feels like the truth sometimes. But I want to say, make sure that it's Jesus. Make sure it's the true vine. Make sure it's the true vine. And this is how you know it's the true vine. Every branch of mine that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Again, what do we say? Fruit is that thing that shows that we are His disciples. And God says, every branch that doesn't bear fruit, He cuts away. And I think we often forget that there is going to be a great cutting away. There is that thing of like, make sure that you follow the Lord with fear and trembling, that you work out your salvation, going, God, am I in you? Am I grafted in? And the question today, it's been coming from this morning, are you plugged in? Are you part of that? Are you bearing fruit? And if you are bearing fruit, this is how you know that you're in Jesus, you'll be pruned. Why? To bear more fruit. That narrow road, remember I spoke about the narrow road earlier? Potholes. Obstacles, that is pruning. Going through life, trusting the Lord for certain things in your life. Hard times come. Jesus says, He says, count it all joy when you face various trials. Why? You're getting pruned. Let me not say that, Lord, because maybe you're going to prune me. But I must be honest. If I look back at my life, the moments, the times that I've been pruned, I thank God for them. Was it nice? Definitely not. It sucked. It sucked. It was hard. Things getting cut out of my heart. Looking at myself, realizing I'm a liar. I'm a thief. God, will you forgive me? And He does. But He prunes that out of us. The hurts that I carry from a young age of things that happened to me, things that people did against me. It's sore when God comes and starts touching, going, I want you to be whole. I want you to bear much fruit. But you can't bear fruit if that little worm is there, because when your fruit comes, it's going to be fraught. So God comes and He prunes us and He works with us. And at moments, I can tell you now, there were times in my life when that happened that I said, God, it's too much. I can't bear this. I can't bear this. I want to walk away, Lord. And at times I have. But coming back to Him and going, God, I trust You. I trust You. Open my heart. Come and prune whatever is not of You. Come and prune. Take that away. Let's carry on. Sorry. Verse 3. Already you are clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. And that, I want to say, if you love Jesus, if you have that moment where you put up your hand and you said, God, I don't know what this is. I feel in my heart, my palms are sweaty. My heart is beating. I know you're calling me. I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I need your salvation. If you had a moment like that where you surrendered your life and said, God, I give you my life today. Please come and take away all the sin that I've done, the filth, the guilt, the condemnation, everything I'm carrying. If you had a moment like that where you've experienced God's love, experienced that salvation moment, because it is, it's a moment that we choose to follow him. We choose to go, okay, God, and none of us really know what lies ahead when we do that. Am I right? Those Christians, those guys who are walking for years, I think if you're walking for 2 weeks with Jesus, you realize, I didn't realize it's going to be like this. It's so exhilarating. It's so amazing. But oh my goodness, it's hard. Oh my goodness, you know, it is. It's like, you know, but God comes and he goes, if you've had that moment, I want to say, Jesus says, you are clean. You are clean. Yes, there's a sanctification happening. Or sanctification is a very high word for a process of getting rid of things. God's doing that. And why do you do that? So that we bear fruit. But Jesus says, because of what I've spoken to you. And then he goes, and this is the part. This is the get plugged in moment. This is the part of let the dust of the rabbi cover you, fill you. Abide in me, Jesus says, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Verse 5. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire, and it's burned. Verse 7, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. By this we glorify my Father, by the works that you do, and prove that you are my disciples. And I want to say, Jesus basically saying to them there, I am the true multi-plug. Get plugged in. There's power. There's power. And not just that, and when you're plugged in, you're part of him. Because if you're not plugged in, your light's not shining. You know? And it's this morning, what does it mean to be to abide in Jesus, to be part of him? And I don't want to just rush over, like Paulette said, we're going to probably go into a season, and I felt when she said it, of just really getting this thing about discipleship within us. Because you need to be his disciple, and at the same time, he's calling you, every single one of you, to go and make disciples. Isn't that incredible? Exactly what Lisa Marie said. As I'm plugged in, someone else can plug into me. And it's not because I'm anything special, no, but it's because Jesus is here. Follow me. Look at how I follow. Look at what I do. I'm not a man that, I follow other men that are, that love the Lord. And I learn from them. I pull from them and I say, somehow the Lord has called me for a position as this, to say, follow me as I follow Christ. But check my life. If there's something that's not of him, there's guys in this room, and I want to say all of you, can at any moment say, what's that? Why are you not plugged in there? Because I want to make sure that I've become like him. Like I want to become like Nathan when I'm foiled. I want to become like Jesus, man. I want to be like him. I want to be pure, spotless. And that's what it's all about. So abiding is to live, to continue, and to remain in someone, in something. Fully immersed, fully in, abiding in the vine, getting grafted in, the Bible actually speaks about. And I want to, we're going to talk a lot about what that looks. But this morning, I want to give you some things that the Bible says. And I'm busy landing with this. Four things to go, you know what Jesus said there? By this you prove that you are my disciples. How do you know that you're a disciple of Jesus? You know what the Bible tells you? Okay, so this is where you've got to go, Lord, I want to have a checklist to know that I know that I know I am your disciple. How do I know this? And here we go. This is what it is. Yes, proofs in the Bible that tells us that this is how you know that you're a disciple. First, now the first one, John 1 John 3, verse 24. Can you put that scripture up for me? Sorry, thanks. 1 John 3, that's it. Whoever keeps his commandments, John is talking here about Jesus, John the disciple who was with Jesus. He says, whoever keeps Jesus' commandments abides in him and he in them. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit who has given us. First thing is, well, it's actually two things, two in one there. First thing is, if you obey his commandments. And we often as elders, we sit and I ask the guys, what is the last thing the Lord has asked you to do? Have you done it? Have you obeyed him? And for you, it might be various things. I met with a good friend this week, and he said he felt God say he's got to come to Josh Jen. It's like, that's amazing. Please come. Not for my sake, for your sake. Follow him. Follow Jesus. Obey him. What is the thing that Jesus asked you to do? That Jesus asked you to give someone money? Do it. It's scary. I know. Did Jesus ask you to pray for someone? Do it. A WhatsApp message? Do it. What is the last thing Jesus asked you to do? Did Jesus ask you to give up something? To walk away from something? Do it. Because by that, you prove that you're his disciple, that you belong to him. And he doesn't leave us alone. The second thing in there, what is, just put that scripture up again, and we know this, but by the, and this is how we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit who he has given us. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's the second thing. Are you in step with the Holy Spirit? Do you walk with the Holy Spirit? And we want to take some time in the next couple of weeks to go, how do you get filled with the Holy Spirit? It's a continuous filling. Has people prayed for you? Has people laid their hands on you and say, be filled with the Holy Spirit? Does the Holy Spirit take you into everything that he wants for you? That's how you know. It's exciting. It's exhilarating. And it's scary. But that's how you know. That's how you know. That's one of the proofs. Can you quickly put on for me just on this 1 John 2 verse 6. It says, whoever says he abides in Jesus ought to walk the same way in which Jesus walked. Uh-oh. Who can put up their hand and go, I walk like Jesus? I couldn't even say that. I want to say I fall like Nathan. Sorry, Nate. I'm just... But that's what the Bible says. That the Holy Spirit, when he gave John the power to write that, go, I'm going to put the bar so high that they'll never attain it. Did he do that? Of course not. Of course not. Do I think until the day I die, I'm going to try and walk the way Jesus walked? Yes. Is it a continuous thing? Is it a day-by-day thing? Totally. How do I know how Jesus walked? I get to know Jesus. I follow him. I become his disciple. Can you say yesterday, think about your day yesterday, did you walk like Jesus walked? Is there a moment yesterday where your heart got tested, where your dog bit your ankle, or your kid did something? Or you looked at your finances, got stressed, or you thought about work, you thought about, were you like Jesus? I wasn't. I felt insecure yesterday. I felt, did I represent God well? I felt, and I had to go like, Lord, I want to be found in you because it's all about you. So how do we know that we abide in him? Walk the way Jesus walked. How do we walk the way Jesus walked? We spend time with him, get into his word, personal relationship, pray, fellowship of believers, get together, ask questions. Say, do you see me? Do I walk like Jesus? Have you ever asked someone that? Have you ever asked? I want to put a challenge out to us. Ask someone this week. Say, do you think, where do I need to change to be able to walk the way Jesus walked? Be ready for a scary answer. Be ready for a very scary answer. Okay? And tell the person to be honest. Some of you already know what the answer is going to be. Hey, that's even more scary. What was the first thing? Obey his commandments. What did Jesus ask you to do? Follow him. Obey him. And then lastly, putting up 1 John 3 verse 6. Can you quickly put that on? It says, no one who abides in Jesus, no one who abides in Jesus. I want to abide in Jesus. I want to follow him. I want to be plugged in. I want to be him. But here's the thing. How do I know that I know that I'm abiding in Jesus, that I can follow him? The Bible says no one that abides in Jesus keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Now that's a scary scripture. Because the Bible also says that we cannot say that we have no sin. Because we do have sin. Each and every one of us. But the thing is, habitual sin, something that you know that God has asked you to let go of, to stop doing. Are you obedient? Are you obedient? And I felt just even now the weight of the Spirit. And I want to say, men, have you stopped with pornography? Are you still in an adulterous relationship? Are you still smoking something you shouldn't be smoking? Are you still lying? Are you still, and it's not to condemn you, it's not to put something, but it's Jesus coming, it's going, follow me, follow me, follow me. I love you with an everlasting love. That stuff will draw you away. It shows that you're not grafted in. If you're not grafted in, there's a danger of getting plucked out, whittling down, drying up, and getting thrown into the fire. Stop doing the things that he's asked you to stop doing. Trust him. Do whatever it takes. Jesus even said, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. He was going, the gravity of it, the gravity what sin does, it leads to more sin. It will lead to death. Stop sinning. Jesus said to that woman, as she was there, none of the men could actually condemn her, the prostitute. He said, anyone here that is without sin, pick up a stone and throw it. And no one could, because we are all sinners. But at the same time, as he looked at her, he said, now go and sin no more. And I feel like just the heavy, like the presence of God on this. I want to say, go and sin no more. Not for our sake, for your sake. Jesus loves you. He's got a plan and a purpose for your life. But sin is the ugliest thing in this world that holds you back to walk in everything that God has for you. It will hold you back even to the point where you might not get into heaven. Narrow is the road. Narrow is the road. Lord, I want to follow you. I want to become like you. I want to be like Jesus. I want to live my life in such a way, God, where your grace enables me not to sin anymore, where I stand in your presence. Holy Spirit, where you empower me, that I've got everything I need for godliness, for purity, for holiness, not in my own strength, but I've surrendered my life. You're not just my Savior, Lord. You are my Lord. I've surrendered my life. Let your will be done, not mine. And today I believe there's a call for us to go, I want to follow Jesus, but understand the cost of following him. It will cost you everything. It will cost you everything. Jesus, looking at his disciples at one point, when it was too hard, they couldn't. He looked at them and he said, and half of his disciples went, and he turned to the 12, he said, and for you, you also want to leave? And I can imagine looking at those guys and they're going, we do. This is hard. But realizing, God, where will I go? Where will I go? You've got the words of life. You've got everything. How do I give up everything knowing that? To say, in this short little space on earth, I'll give up everything, anything. I'll sell everything to get that pearl of great price so that I can follow you and live for you. That's what it means to be a disciple of Christ. That's what it means to make disciples and to live a life for him. Amen. So can we close our eyes? God is taking us into a season of being disciples, being discipled, making disciples. But I felt this morning God is starting with this thing. It's a question he's asking. And I remember looking at the Passion and Nicodemus, a rabbi. Nicodemus was a rabbi. And I think he realized in a moment that Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life. He realized it. And I remember Jesus said to him, well, come and follow me. And I don't know if you've watched The Passion, but I want to paint this picture where Nicodemus was standing there at that moment. And it was almost like he realized to follow Jesus, he's got to give up being a rabbi, which in the Jewish culture means you are a leader of leaders. You have got finances. You have got everything in place. And Jesus is saying to him, will you follow me? And realizing what that meant for him was to give up everything. And the picture that the Passion paints is such a beautiful one, because Jesus will never, ever, ever, ever force you to follow him. He's given you free will. He's saying, choose today who you will serve. Choose today. Will you serve this world? Or will you serve me? Will you follow me? And Nicodemus is standing behind a wall, and Jesus is about to leave the city. And he goes, is there anybody else that wants to follow me? Is there anybody else that wants to follow me? And Jesus, knowing that Nicodemus is standing behind the wall, he knows he's there. And Jesus gives one more time. He says, is there anybody that wants to follow me? And you can see the anguish on Nicodemus's face of just realizing, God, I want to, but I don't know. I just can't. And what I felt for us this morning is some of us feels like that Nicodemus. It's like, God, I just don't know how to, God. I've got all these things. Like, God, you're asking too much of me. And I feel this morning a grace where God is coming. If you trust me, if you rely, if you let go, and if you follow me, not even in this life alone, but in the life to come, I will show you who I am. And you can walk with me. And Jesus even said, greater things than what he did, we're going to do. Not because we are great, because he is great in us. So I want to ask this morning, are you plugged in? Are you fully plugged in? Are you fully grafted into the vine? Do you follow him? Do you walk like him? And I know maybe for some of us, I know we've got some visitors here. Maybe this morning you're going, I'm definitely not plugged in. I was plugged in maybe once, but I'm definitely not plugged in right now. Or I've never been plugged in. I'm looking at you guys and I want what you've got, because there's something that you've got that I desire. I can feel it in my heart. And I feel this morning in that personal relationship with Jesus, as everybody's eyes are closed, people aren't looking, people are praying. But this morning for you, I spoke about earlier about that moment where every single one of us realized that we needed Jesus, that our lives was a mess, that our lives was, we were living for ourselves, and we go, God, I need you, Holy Jesus, I need you to come and take away the sin, take away the things in this that I've done, the guilt, the condemnation that I'm carrying. And I want to say, Jesus this morning wants to do that for you because he loves you. And it is, your heart starts beating and your palms do start getting sweaty, because there's like a war and a wrestle going over your life. But Jesus is this morning saying, I love you, I love you, I love you. Trust me. Take that first step of faith. There's nothing you can do will earn salvation. Nothing you can do. No matter how good you are, no matter what you've done, and you can be the best person in this earth. You can be giving away money to multiple organizations. You can be living a life that's trying to be so good that you never smoke, you never drink, you never do all these bad things that the world depicts as bad things. but you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus. You don't know him the way that I just explained of knowing him, of being with him, of abiding with him, of following him, of giving up the things that you're wanting to do. So this morning, I want to give every single one of us an opportunity again. Do you know Jesus? Do you have a personal relationship with him? Has he taken away your sin? Has he made you clean? And if not, while every eye is closed, I want to ask you, don't you just want to slip up your hand and say, that's me. I this morning want to be that person that says, God, I want you. I want to give you my life this morning. I want you to come and cleanse and purify me and wash away everything that is not of you, God. And if that's you, just make sure I see your hand and don't worry what people think, because who cares what people think, man? It's about Jesus. We're saying that it's all about you, Jesus. And I want to say for you right now, it's all about Jesus. Is there anybody? Thank you, sir. Is there anybody else? Just saying that's me this morning. Thank you for that hand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for that hand. Anybody else? And while those guys are responding, I feel another call. Are you this morning going, that last what I said? You're realizing that, God, I'm caught up in sin. I've given my heart to you. I've tried to walk this road. I've tried to do everything that I can. But I'm realizing this morning, God, I need you. I need to be grafted into the vine again. I need to get plugged in again. I need to be part of what you are doing, Lord Jesus. And I need to get rid of sin. I need to confess this morning. It's not a bad thing. The devil wants to lie to you and say, don't tell anybody what you've done. He's lying to you. The most liberating, freeing thing in this world is to go, I've sinned, but I know someone that can take away that sin. I want to take away that mysticism or that ugliness that the devil comes to bring guilt and condemnation. The Holy Spirit brings conviction. And he says, come on, man, I love you. I love you. Confess your sin one to another. Make sure today you tell someone the Holy Spirit is on your heart. And I want to say, if that's you this morning, if you're saying, I need to get plugged in again, I want to follow Jesus, I want to be grafted into the vine, whether you've been in this church for 18 years, whether you've been a Christian for 50 years, if you this morning, you're saying, God, I want that. Don't you want to raise your hand? Say, that's me. Thank you. Thank you. Lord, that's me. God, that's me. Don't let the devil steal a moment right now. God this morning wants to set you free from sin, from darkness, from chains that are holding you. Are you still sleeping with your girlfriend? Are you addicted to something? God wants to set you free today. Are you caught up in your own mind, your own thoughts? Are you feeling depressed? Shame? God wants to set you free today. God wants to set you free. So I want to ask, can we all close our eyes? Just felt the Holy Spirit drop in my spirit. If that is you, God doesn't want to expose you. He doesn't want you to feel shame or anything. And I want to pray for us this morning. But this is what I want to do. I want all of us to pray this prayer. But if you this morning responded in your heart, if you responded by lifting your hand, I want you this morning to share what you've responded with one of us. Share it with the person that you don't want to share it with. And the reason why I say that It's because the devil wants to keep you back. He goes, no, you can share it to that guy, but don't share it with this person. Don't share it with a leader, because what are the leaders going to think? Who cares? Don't share it with my husband or my wife. What are they going to think? Who cares? Share it with the person. Share it today. Confess your sin. Confess the things that are holding you back, because God wants to bring life and life in abundance into your life today. So I want to ask, everybody's eyes are closed. And I feel this is a holy moment where the Holy Spirit wants to come and work in our hearts. He doesn't want to shame you. He doesn't want to expose you. But He wants to set you free. So let's close our eyes. And can we all pray this prayer after me? Lord Jesus, I come before you today. Lord, I am a sinner. Father, I've sinned against you. I've taken up thoughts that's against you. I feel like I'm not plugged in today, God. I feel like I'm not in part of your vine, Lord. But today, I want to be grafted back in, God. I confess my sin firstly to you, Lord. I ask that you would come and cleanse me. I ask that you come and purify me. Take away everything that is not of you. Wash me clean, God. Holy Spirit, come fill me up again afresh. Come lead me and guide me. Take away the feelings that sin brings, God. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my life. I give you everything. Father, I pray now that as we've prayed that, God, that you would come and move in our hearts, Lord. I want to pray for a washing, a cleansing, God, a purification that only you can bring, Jesus. I pray, God, for a boldness within us, God, to stand up and to confess, Lord, and to talk out with the things that have held us back, Lord. I pray that even the seed, it will fall on fertile ground this morning, God. The devil will not steal it, God. He won't come and kill and destroy what you are doing, Lord Jesus. But Father, each one of us, Lord, that we will be bold enough to take that next step, God, to say, this is me. Come walk with me. I want to follow Jesus. I want to follow him with everything. I want to be his disciple. I want to know him. I want a personal relationship with him. And I want to say, if that is you this morning, please come talk to me. Come talk to any one of the elders. Come talk to us. Let's help. We want to help. We want to be with you. Our job, God has called each and every one of us as elders to make sure that you live the life that God has got for you.